My life's in you, my strength's in you, my hope's in you, in you.
This is a presentation of the Durham Church of Christ in Durham, North Carolina. We are located at 5224 Wake Forest Highway. If you are ever in the Durham area, we hope that you will come by and visit.
Good afternoon, friends and brethren. I hope everyone had a good lunch and a good time together. We are going to be attending the Durham Ridge Nursing Home facility, assisted living facility, after this PM service. We'll be back on being with them on the first Sunday of each month at 2:30. We've arranged it with them. I spoke with them on Friday. They are expecting us, so we don't have to worry about going to a back room or being denied the ability to go in at all. They are ready for us. And so that is back up and running, and I wanted to let everyone know that. The devotional generally lasts about 30 minutes, and so if that's something you are interested in, I hope that you will join us. This afternoon we're going to study and examine the Exodus. We're going to look at the children of Israel being freed from the bondage of Egypt. And if you look at that depiction right there, we can get an idea of what it must have been like to come to that Red Sea and to have it parted by God as Moses stretched out his arms, as the Red Sea was parted, and as the children of Israel walked on dry ground, as we read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. We see that the children of Israel got to the point of even making it to the Red Sea because of many things that occurred prior to that. They were in bondage in Egypt, and we learned that one, in order to be freed from bondage, needs a deliverer. There's one that needs to come along, or one that needs to step up, that has the power and the courage and the ability to deliver those that are enslaved. And we see in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7 that the Lord states, He has seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. The people of Egypt had been afflicting the children of Israel. They had been putting upon them great grievous burdens and having them serve with rigor. Verse 13 in chapter 1. And so this people had been crying to be freed from this bondage and from this slavery. And so God, being the deliverer then, in order to carry out this deliverance, chooses a leader. And we notice in verse 10 of chapter 3, He says, I will send thee, speaking to Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses would be chosen. Moses would be commissioned to go and to free the people by being the leader that God needed to carry out this deliverance. Now, we understand and have studied before and through chapter 3 and chapter 4 that Moses didn't quite see himself this way. You know, I'm looking forward to this leadership class that we're going to be doing, a six-month class on the first Tuesday of every month with some of the men throughout the congregation. And one of the things that I've noticed and that clearly the Bible shows us is sometimes there are leaders amongst God's people that just don't see themselves as leaders yet. And that's exactly the way Moses was. Moses just didn't see himself the way God saw him. God saw something in Moses that Moses did not yet see. Although we see that Moses gained the courage, gained the understanding that he was to go out and he was to lead this deliverance, lead this freedom that would occur upon the children of Israel from the people of Egypt. And we see this very thing taking place. In chapter 5 and verse 1, we see that Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." They approach Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to demand that God's people, who are really powerless, who have no say, they're the ones that are in subjection and under the authority of the Egyptians. And here they march in to the very head of the one that is commissioning this rigor, this affliction upon them, demanding that they be released. It was going to take courage. It was going to take a great amount of effort and faith that God is the one doing the delivering, not Moses, not the people of Israel. And we understand that in order for this to take place, the leaders would have to get the people on board. They would need a support system. They couldn't just go in there and try to deliver this people with this people, not knowing what the plan was and not knowing that they were trying to be delivered by God. And we see that Moses and Aaron did that very thing in chapter 4, starting at verse 29. Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people, and the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Initially, the people are on board. The people believe Moses and Aaron, believe that they are the leaders to lead them out of this affliction, that indeed they can be delivered. But we're going to see, as freedom from bondage takes place, that persistence is needed. A great amount of dedication is needed. We talked a little bit this morning about commitment. Well, the children of Israel, I'm sure, were very uplifted when Moses and Aaron told the things that they were told of God and showed them the signs. I'm sure it was in a way, a very motivating time where it was very easy for everyone to jump on board. But when things began to become difficult, you can see that they were tempted to have a different state of mind. Notice what takes place as God, through Aaron and Moses, are asking Pharaoh that they want to be released. Actually demanding, saying, "Let my people go." We notice how Pharaoh responds. Notice verse 5 in chapter 5. Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmaster of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give the people straw to make brick, as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof, for they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let their more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words.'" What's Pharaoh's response? "You have too much time on your hands. You have too much freedom. Here you are asking me to go. You want to be freed. You need to be working even more. You're not working enough. You're not enslaved enough." And we're going to notice this throughout the lesson. When we try to break free from bondage, the one who is in control, the one who has us enslaved, guess what? He's not going to just give up the fight. He's not going to just say, "Well, sure, that sounds great." No, he's going to do everything in his power to make sure that we don't become free. And in some cases, as we see here, making life even more difficult upon us. And so the people of Israel, imagine now what they are thinking. Imagine now what is going through their minds. Here the officers of Israel have to go and have to beat the children of Israel and discipline them and threaten them, because now they are tasked with the responsibility to go out and collect the straw as well as make the bricks. But they're not finding any straw. We see in verse 14, "The officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, 'Wherefore have ye not fulfilled your task in making brick both yesterday and today as heretofore?' Then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, 'Wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants. And they say to us, Make brick, and behold, thy servants are beaten. But the fault is in thine own people. It's your fault, Pharaoh. You're the reason why we're not able to do what you're wanting us to do. You're putting a task upon us that we cannot accomplish." And so here we see the officers of the children of Israel being beaten because this additional task and difficulty is being laid upon them, but they're unable to accomplish it. They're unable to complete it. And so what then happens? What do you think is going through the minds of the people of Israel? Imagine now, you're laboring. Life's already hard. Here comes Moses and Aaron. Hey, God wants to free us. We're going to free you. You say, "Hey, that sounds great. Let's jump on board." Moses and Aaron go and talk to Pharaoh. And the response is, "You're going to now have to work even harder. And the work that I'm going to require of you cannot even be accomplished, and you'll be punished for not accomplishing it." What's the reply? What's the temptation there? The temptation is, let's pull the reins back. We don't want to go to Pharaoh anymore. We don't want to attempt to be freed anymore. This is making life more difficult, not easier. This is making us into deeper bondage, not freeing us from bondage. And that's exactly how they respond. Verse 19, the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case. After it was said, ye shall not minish aught from your bricks of your daily task. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be a board in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returns unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. See, Moses thought it was going to be an immediate thing. He thought, I'd be freed from bondage. We all be freed from bondage. It's just going to happen. But we see that it's not happening without a fight. And we see that God is going to encourage Moses to hang in there, to not give up, to keep going. God has a plan. God has a way about accomplishing this. We see in verse 1 of chapter 6, the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Might seem like an impossible task. Might seem very unlikely, but that was going to be God's plan. That was going to be the way it would be accomplished. And so we then see that Moses begins, as God is commanding him, to come to Pharaoh time and time again, saying, let my people go. And each time we see plagues being brought upon Pharaoh. But as these plagues are brought upon Pharaoh, we understand that Pharaoh was attempting to make a deal. Pharaoh wanted to cut a deal with Moses and with God's people. But if one is going to be freed from bondage, if one is going to be freed from slavery, one must not only be persistent, not only remain focused on that leader and that deliverer, but one must also be uncompromising. Be willing to remain steadfast in the goal and in the objective, not giving in one bit. Because that's exactly what Pharaoh attempted to offer. In Pharaoh's eyes, he thought, maybe if I can just give them a little bit of what they want, but still hold on to them to a certain degree, they won't be completely freed. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 25, we see Pharaoh calling for Moses and for Aaron, saying, go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes. And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. No, Pharaoh, you don't get it. We're not going to stay here. We're leaving. But that's not what he wants them to do. He wants them to stay. He says, we're going to go into the wilderness to sacrifice to our Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Don't go too far. Don't go too far, Moses. We don't want you resisting and fleeing us all together and entirely. We want you to hold on just a little bit. You know, sometimes we sing a song. Actually, we let our children pick the song each night, and Murphy always chooses the song, Roll the Gospel Chariot Along. It's one of his favorite songs. And of course, their favorite part is usually, if the devil's in the way, we will roll right over him. Well, we always ask the question, well, what if we just picked up the devil for a little ride? What if we just hung on with the devil and hung out with him just for a little bit? Would that be okay? And they all love, you know, no, they like saying that. But that's really what the devil wants, isn't it? He doesn't want us to serve him with everything. He just wants just a little bit. If we can give Satan just a little bit, then we're not fleeing from him. We're not resisting him. We're willing to accept him in one small little area or sector in our life. Guess what? He knows eventually over time it will enter into every sector and plague our spirituality in its entirety. And that's why James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist him. Deny him. Don't compromise with him. Don't make a deal with him. Don't hang out with him for just a little bit. No, resist him. And that's exactly really what's being depicted here by Pharaoh. Pharaoh, of course, would be the type or the image, or metaphorically speaking, we could say that Pharaoh is Satan to the people of Israel. He is inflicting upon them slavery, just as Satan seeks to inflict slavery spiritually upon us. But we understand that if the people of Israel were going to be freed, they could not compromise. They could not give in. They could not just go a little bit away. No, they had to completely flee. They had to be gone. But Pharaoh doesn't give up. He offers another deal. In Exodus chapter 10 and verse 10, Pharaoh says, "Let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you." Wait a second. If you're going to take your little ones with you, you're up to no good. I know what you're up to. And so he goes on and suggests in verse 11, "Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord." Don't take the kids with you. Don't take them with you. You leave the kids and you go serve God. Why? Because I know you'll be coming back. You know, sometimes folks will say that they're doing certain things for their children. And these certain things are contrary to the will of God. But the mindset is that it is better for the children. Well, Satan likes to use that upon us sometimes. Because guess what? Where our children end up going, soon we will follow and be right there with them. Moses knew that this was a compromise, and so such a thing would not be accepted by God. But Moses tries one more time. In verse 24 of chapter 10, it says, "Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, Thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us." There would be no compromising on the part of Moses. God knows, the people of Israel knew, Moses knew, that if faithfulness, service, and total freedom was ever going to be possible, it would only be possible if it was indeed total freedom. Completely escaping the bondage of Egypt. Sometimes we can have the mindset that if we serve God in a majority of our time or in a major area in our life, that allows us the freedom to be able to serve Satan a little bit here and a little bit there. But that's simply not the case. We're either a servant to one or the other, because we cannot serve two masters. And Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 6, in verse 16, he says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." When we're serving Satan, even if it's just for a short period of time, even if it's just in a small sector in our life, we then are serving sin and have become a slave to Satan. But let's do like Moses and the children of Israel did. Let's be uncompromising. Let's be persistent. Let's follow the leaders. And let's do whatever the deliverer, God, commands us to do. Have you been freed from sin this afternoon? Are you right with God? Have you been baptized into Christ? Have you given your whole life to Him? If you haven't, you have the opportunity to do so. If you have, but then you've decided that you want a little bit of your life back again, you maybe went off into the wilderness to worship God for a little while, but you didn't go far because you knew you wanted to return, make up your mind now to be uncompromising and give God your whole heart, your whole life, because that's what He requires. Do you have any spiritual need this afternoon? If you do, please come forward as all together we stand and sing.